Broadcasting live to Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, SiriusXM Channel 119. And to the financial capital of the world, Bloomberg 1130. This is Taking Stock.
I feel like it's a secretive thing, Michael McKee. FI Mobile Service.
Project FI.
FI.
And it is secretive because you can't get in unless you get an invitation.
From Google?
From Google. Yeah. It's like when they introduced the new email service. And it took, well, it's still, I think, invitation only for inbox. So we'll see how quickly this kind of spreads, how successful it's going to be. We'll talk about that.
With our own Paul Sweeney of Bloomberg Intelligence. That's coming up in just a minute. Meantime, let's get a check on top business stories and an update on the financial markets. Here's Charlie Pellet.
All right, thank you very much. Carol Masser, Michael McKee. Google shares are higher now by 1.3%, up $7.02, 541.04 on ticker GOOG. Benchmark indexes within striking distance of records amid a bunch of corporate earnings reports, Coca-Cola and McDonald's among them. Coca-Cola shares up 1.5% right now, $41.38 for a share of Coca-Cola. McDonald's up 3.3% now, up $3.15 to $98.02. Energy shares higher. Brent crude is higher by 1.2%. Barrel of Brent, $62.82 right now. West Texas Intermediate is down 0.6%, falling 36 cents to $56.26. Visa and MasterCard, the world's biggest payments networks, climbing the most since October after China's government indicated it plans to end a monopoly in bank card clearing. Visa up 4.5% to $68.26. MasterCard up 4.1% to $91.32. Nobel laureate Joseph Stiglitz was interviewed this morning on Bloomberg. He says the U.S. economy is not working for most of America.
I think we have to understand that it's not just a matter of redistribution, that it's the way our whole economic system has been working that has led to, even before tax wages, being very unequal. America is the country now with the highest level of inequality among all the advanced countries, and among the lowest level of equality of opportunity.
Boeing shares down 1.4%. It posted higher expenses for the 787 Dreamliner. Dow up 96, a gain of 0.5%. S&P up 12, a gain of 0.6%. Now we'll look at the other stories making news with Irv Chapman.
Charlie, Yemen Shiite rebels who've taken over large parts of the country and have faced a Saudi-led air assault now are saying they would welcome United Nations-led talks to find a political solution to the conflict. This as thousands of angry Houthi supporters marched in the capital, Sana'a, denouncing what they describe as Saudi-American aggression. The United States has put additional naval forces in the area around Yemen to interdict the supply of weapons to the Houthis. Congressman Mac Thornberry, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, commented.
I think there's a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake depending on what's in those cargo ships resupplying the Houthis, but there's also a lot at stake in making sure that Iran is not in control of these two very strategic places through which much of the world's shipping traverses.
A group of advocates who work to fight child sex abuse is asking New York State lawmakers to eliminate the statute of limitations on certain sex crimes committed against minors. Under the state's current law, for charges to be brought, a victim typically must report the allegations before they turn age 23. Get more on these and other breaking stories 24 hours a day at thenewbloomberg.com or download the Radio Plus mobile app. I'm Irv Chapman, Bloomberg Radio. Charlie?
And we thank you, Irv. His next update coming up just under 30 minutes. The Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ higher within striking distance of records. We've got the S&P up 10 now at 2107, a gain of 0.5%. Carol and Michael, that is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Charlie Pellet, thank you very much. This is Bloomberg 1130 in New York, 1200 a.m. in Boston, and 960 a.m. in the San Francisco Bay Area, where I'm sure they are watching the debut of Google Fi with great interest. Out in the Silicon Valley area.
They are indeed. Well, Google is becoming Mr. Everything, and that includes Mr. Telephone Man. They unveiled a U.S. wireless service. Let's talk a bit more about what's going on. Paul Sweeney of Bloomberg Intelligence covers the media and telecom space for us. What is Google doing?
Google is continuing to go mobile. Google recognizes that internet traffic across the board, whether it's media traffic or e-commerce traffic, is going mobile, and they've been, you know, right there at the forefront all the way, and they want to really be involved in all parts of the mobile experience. So most notably, they bought Motorola Mobility a few years ago for close to $12 billion to get experience and some exposure to the handset business, some of which they've already spun off and sold. They, you know, obviously most notably developed the Android operating system, which is now employed in the majority of wireless devices around the world, and now getting into the connectivity side of the wireless by joining up with T-Mobile and Sprint to offer a, you know, a wireless service.
So check.
Check.
What's the advantage to the customer from this? The low prices?
I think the low price initially is going to be what's attractive to people. You know, the $20 entry point is great. The international roaming is great. The ability to buy data in kind of $10 chunks and then get a credit at the end of the month if you don't actually use it, that's going to be attractive to a lot of people. So I think the value proposition, first and foremost, I think there are people that, particularly the younger demos that are real big T-Mobile fans and, to a lesser extent, Sprint Mobile fans. They're going to use the Wi-Fi networks around the country as also a part of the network. So I think this is, you know, arguably on a limited basis because it's just limited to, you know, a certain phone. And so it's going to be
Nexus 6 is the only one it's on.
That's right. So it's going to be a very limited initial rollout. But to the extent that they have some success, I'm sure that they will, you know, take it out to a bigger
way. How disruptive is this essentially into kind of the traditional telecom players?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was just talking to our telecom analysts. And, you know, they were saying certainly initially because it is such a limited rollout and such a limited market that it's clearly not going to be disruptive in the near term. But, you know, to the extent that they get some success here in terms of subscribers, and it's all about, you know, the pace and the momentum of subscriber growth, they could certainly expand that to other devices, certainly other Android devices. And then it could be something, you know, a little bit, you know, for some of the big carriers to pay attention to. But certainly in the near term, nothing in terms of the disruption. I think it's more of Google saying, listen, we're mobile, we're in mobile. From, you know, top to bottom of the food chain, we're going to, because we know that's the future of our business.
I said check, but this whole idea of having hardware, software, connectivity, I mean, kind of, is that smart to kind of be in all areas of that?
Well, you know, arguably a lot of investors would say, no, why do you need to be in hardware at all? I mean, you know, you're Google, you're a software company as opposed to a hardware, and hardware's lower margin and things like that. And in fact, they've gotten out of a lot of the hardware side of the business. But I think it's just Google saying, listen, we have a certain amount of speculative capital, if you will, where we think, you know, kind of outside the box. And, you know, we'll take a look at what it's like to be a service provider for wireless. We're not going to allocate really any capital here. We're not putting fiber in the ground or anything like that. We're simply piggybacking on the Sprint and T-Mobile backbone. So it's a relatively low cost for them to get into the mobile services business. And again, as I mentioned, you know, Google, as they look at their business trends and where their usage is going, everything across the board for them and for everybody else in the internet is obviously going mobile.
Does the price put pressure on AT&T or Verizon to lower their prices?
It depends. You know, certainly initially probably not because it's going to be a fairly limited rollout. It's something that T-Mobile has been very aggressive on price. You know, for the last couple of years, John Legere's taken a very aggressive stance against the incumbent carriers, AT&T and Verizon, really from a price perspective. So I think that's always in the marketplace. And, you know, so to the extent that this, you know, Google Fi service gets traction in terms of subscribers, it could add to that.
I mean, is there something we're missing, Paul, in terms of Google's strategy? I mean, they definitely think outside the box. And I'm just thinking, we're thinking traditional and phones and mobile, you know, but is there something else that we're possibly missing?
Well, I think, you know, when you think about Google, still, you know, over 85% of their revenue comes from selling ads and search ads. And that's unlikely to change, even though they're huge in display advertising. They're getting huge in online video advertising with YouTube. Still, the core of their business is search. It is likely to be search going forward in the near to intermediate term. The only thing that's really changing for them is a lot of their business is going from desktop to mobile. There are different economics there, lower price points for advertising. You kind of have to make it up on volume, given that the prices are cheaper on mobile devices. So I think it's simply Google stepping back and saying, how can we drive more traffic to mobile, more traffic to Android mobile devices? Because we know eventually, you know, that is going to be the primary source of search revenue for us. And hopefully the pricing will take care of itself.
Does this show up anywhere in Google's earnings or stock price?
No, absolutely not. What's going to, you know, when Google reports earnings later this week, it's going to be, you know, just, you know,
not this week, but down the road.
Yeah. I think again, probably not. I think it's good. At some point, they're probably going to, you know, tout a little bit more, kind of their mobile offerings and kind of their mobile infrastructure and kind of how that's driving growth in terms of usage and pricing and so on and so forth. So I think most investors are very comfortable with Google and its mobile strategy. And I think Google has proven in the past to really adapt well.
They get more data on all of us, don't they?
They get more data on all of us, absolutely.
And that gets more and more valuable.
It does. And nobody has, you know, you could argue some of the social media sites do, but Facebook obviously has a tremendous database on many of its users.
I'd love to see Michael McKee's dossier.
Exactly. I'm sure it's very thick.
Colorful, a lot of information.
Fireside reading, I'm thinking.
Yeah, people don't mind.
All right. Paul Sweeney, thank you.
You bet.
Really appreciate it. Paul Sweeney, Bloomberg Intelligence, covers the media and internet area. And,
Free
of course,
power.
Yes, it's changing times, that's for sure. All right, everybody, you're listening to Taking Stock, and this is Bloomberg Radio.
Well, it seems to be a straightforward case of he did it, but maybe not. The guy who did the flash crash, or was he just one of many people who contributed? We'll discuss it coming up next.